Hello and a very warm welcome to this WazirX and CNBC TV 18 present this special podcast on NFT frenzy. Well, when you look at the last few years, we have seen those numbers continue to increase quite strongly. Just to put the numbers in context, in 2018, when you look at the NFTs market capitalization globally, it was at about $40.9 million. 2019, it was more than double at $141 million. And then 2020 saw $338 million. 2021, the first half of this year, already clocked $2.5 billion. Clearly, we still are awaiting for more numbers for the second half of this year. But this clearly has been a market which has seen even more enthusiasm than what cryptocurrencies did. To understand the market in details and what is the road ahead, I am now joined by Praful Chandra, who's founder and chief scientist at CoinEarth. I also have with me Sandesh Suvarna, who's VP NFT Marketplace WazirX. Gentlemen, hi. Thank you so much for joining us. And Praful, let me start with you. And crypto has piqued the interest of the first time and seasoned investors alike when it hit the market. The millennials also are making B-roads for this. The NFTs seem to have captured the eyes of even those who have had their doubts on crypto. But NFT has really caught interest. Why do you think that's happened?
Well, I think it's a good question as to why NFTs, a lot of people see more potential in NFTs than they do in crypto. I think there are a couple of reasons. I think the first of it is that fundamentally what NFTs represent is something that is inherently more acceptable to a lot of people when they first understand it. And what it represents, NFTs, if you go and think about it, at the heart of what NFTs represent are title deeds or proof of ownerships or certificates of ownerships. Now, if we look around the world today, there are a lot of certificates of ownership that we are accustomed to using, which will be beneficial to be converted into NFTs. And that's why people who understand this field in depth see that there is a lot more potential of what NFTs can do with wide variety of fields. Today, we're seeing it in the digital art space. It's going to happen with content. And eventually, it's also going to happen with physical products like vehicles and land and so on and so forth. So I think the experts see where this is going to go, because fundamentally what you are doing is creating a more trusted record of who owns what, whether in the digital world or in the physical world. So that is on the expert sides. On the mass population side, the crypto people also understand this, but they also see this, the reason that it has picked up faster than NFTs have picked up faster than crypto is also because, remember, you are starting just from a numbers perspective, you are starting off from a larger base of people who understand the base technology, and that gives you an impetus to get started quickly. So those are my two takes.
Sandesh, I remember that when we talked about India and WazirX was the first one to launch a marketplace for NFT. And since then, there are many more platforms that have mushroomed. But how have you seen the growth? How have you seen the number of creators increase and also the participants?
Thank you, Manisha. So even before I answer this particular question, Manisha, I would like to add on even more, some more points to the earlier question, why NFTs picked picked more attention than the crypto. The art has been an asset class since a very long time. Even before the gold, you go to any palaces right now, you can see art, right? So what NFT did to the art segment is that it brought in the justice. It brought in the authenticity. It cleared the authenticity aspect of it. Okay, and on top of that, the other aspect is that royalty. So just because of this, and there are many creators also in this particular world, there are so many beautiful artists. Okay, so just because of that, and on top of that, NFTs are all majorly pictorial. Okay, so it became people, it's an easy way to understand crypto, and currently many of them are trying to get into crypto just because of that particular use case. So now, answering your current question, so it has been a phenomenal journey for us so far. It has been almost like 5 months since we launched our NFT marketplace. And we are happy to see that Indians and even the entire South Asian market is taking it up very in a very wise way, because we initially thought that it started as an experiment initially, because we had a bit of skeptical on Indian investment mindset. So, but it took off very, very phenomenally. And now when we see all the celebrities, everyone are coming into this NFT space, and that's more welcoming, because that will bring in even more crypto, even more users onto the crypto community. So far it has been amazing, and we will see even more bigger growth in the coming periods.
Praful, this one is to you. And while clearly a lot of points were mentioned already, no middlemen, and there is royalty fees. It is digital in nature. There is no shipping cost involved here. How about exploring international markets? I mean, this is clearly breaking the traditional market barriers. Do you think that is yet another reason that we have seen a lot of people onboarding NFTs?
Yes. Well, the word international markets is very interesting, right? Because I can read it in many ways. The first way you can think about it is that the seller or the content creator is in one geography and the buyer is in another geography. And what we are fundamentally doing is allowing transactions between international boundaries. Now, this definitely helps with the market phenomena, right? If you go and read Markets 101, Economics 101, what you see is that the larger the market, the more the liquidity in the market, the more competition in the market, it is better for everyone, right? So it definitely makes sense to kind of say that there's an international enablement of digital assets being traded around the world. I must say that what would be really helpful is because there's still a lot of regulatory uncertainty around this, and it would be good to kind of get some sort of clarity on how to treat these transactions from a regulation perspective. We ourselves are talking to several lawyers, several chartered accountants, several auditors, several FEMA consultants as to how exactly do we kind of model this, right? And that would be good clarity, and that will help this internationalization of digital assets, what we are seeing starting with art and going on to other forms like media and entertainment, becoming really, really a powerful international marketplace.
So while, of course, we are awaiting guidance on how it should be taxed, whether it's going to be treated some way under the GSTs, as you said that you are working, there's a team that is working with the regulators on that. What can we expect? I know it's a very theoretical answer at this point in time, but the markets are rife with all kind of conversations around this.
So Manisha, so I'll tell you where we are and how we are thinking about it. I just want to clarify that we are not working with regulators. We are working with experts in the field. And I'll tell you the way we are thinking about it. The way we are thinking about it is that NFT from a taxation perspective or from a regulatory perspective, there are two interpretations of NFTs that we see will make sense. One interpretation of NFTs when it comes, if the NFT is for a digital asset, which is what it is today, then it is best to treat the NFT as an end user license. This is exactly what you buy when you go to a software product firm and when you pay them to use that software product. What you sign with them is called a EULA or an end user license agreement. And we believe that this is exactly how you should classify today's NFTs, which are fundamentally an buyer paying to get an end user license on the digital asset. And if you look at end user licenses being bought for software, they can be classified under the current regulatory structure. And I believe that is the simplest way of treating these digital assets and NFTs. It's just a question of clarification that the government can issue that NFTs would be treated as end user licenses for digital assets. And then we have an existing framework. We don't really need to pass any new bill or any new regulation. As this field matures, things will get interesting because we will see a requirement for NFTs to be issued for physical products also. That's where it will get slightly tricky, And that's where I don't have a good answer for you right now. But perhaps in a month or month and a half's time, when we have some more clarity, we may be able to answer that how to classify NFTs for physical products also.
All right. I know that's a tough one because we don't know the answers to this. And all we understand is that the regulators are perhaps looking at it as a different asset class. But Sandesh, you know, you mentioned earlier, and this is something that Prafulla also just said, that while we are, of course, it's perhaps 80% art right now, and then music, and then some videos and collectibles and concert tickets, everything seems to be making its way onto NFTs. Going forward, if the usage is going to be different, it perhaps would start introducing lands and identities. I mean, that is what the markets are looking at. How do you see this transition? How would you categorize on how are NFTs looking like? And the other point clearly is about millennials. I mean, they seem to be a real, big customer right now.
Right, Manisha. See, millennials are the buyers right now. So even on the crypto side, it is, I would say, even the majority of the buyers are aged between 18 to 30. So we call these age group as asset light age group. Like this is the age group which do not want to possess any asset that are heavy, like be it real estate or all those. So these are, they want to invest on assets that are very digitally light. So that's what we have been seeing so far. And talking about the segments that will expand, the NFTs will expand. Even I can't say that because even on our platform, we have more than 10 plus categories. Art is obviously one of the majority one. There are photography, there are augmented reality. We have experimented even travel. We have even experimented ticketing. We have experimented all of them. And we haven't even onboarded even more bigger, like even more creators, because we have limited because of the exclusivity aspect of it right now, because we are experimenting on so many other aspects. But as you know, NFT is growing like crazy, and there is a new use case every single day. Like there is currently a use case like NFT as a collateral, like you can keep an NFT as a collateral and you can take up a loan. Okay, so there are so many things happening on this NFT space. And I would say it's just wide open.
Oh, well, it sure is. Prafulla, there is this conversation when you talk about NFTs and when you talk about metaverse, that there's going to be a time, and that perhaps Ozil already is incoming, is that a digital me will buy a digital shirt and drink a digital coffee. I mean, that is what we are headed at, is what the conversation is now.
Yeah, it's interesting. And people who don't live in this world kind of think about why the hell would you want to do this, right? But if you think about it, and if you remove the word coffee and shirt from this, we are kind of already doing it. I mean, I would argue that if when two people's profiles are chatting with each other, philosophically, are the people chatting or the profiles chatting with each other? So the question about the fact that of a lot of our social interactions are now intermediated by digital profiles and digital assets, right? If two people are chatting about a YouTube video, we are halfway there. The fact that social interactions are intermediated by technology has been a trend for more than two decades now, and it's only getting stronger. Of course, why it is getting stronger? Because it's again comes back to scale, right? There are no geographical boundaries in technology. So it doesn't matter which part of the world you are sitting in. If I want to have a social interaction with somebody else in the world, the digital world is ideally suited for it, where the physical world creates restrictions.
Sure does. And while Sandesh gave me a long list of what WazirX is as of now, experimenting with, Sandesh, the global markets also are looking at sports that we've seen in India as well, because Bollywood and sports go hand in hand when you look at influencers in India. But we've also seen spirituality, luxury brands converting real art world into NFTs as well. How do you see that picking up?
Yeah, that's picking up amazingly. Like all those segments that you just mentioned, like be it devotional or be it luxury. And the last one was, Manisha, the third one you said, I forgot the third
the luxury brands and
exactly. So we have
fashion.
Tried all of them. Fashion, exactly. We tried all of them. Like on the devotional, we have a celebrity celebrity singer, Neha Rajpal, who's a devotional singer as well. She has sold several NFTs on our platform. And if I have to talk about fashion, you might have heard about Lakme Fashion Week dropping their NFT through Manish Malhotra. Even that has been successfully sold out on our platform. And I would say even that adds up onto the luxury as well. So every use case we have tested out so far has been worked out really well for us. And it has been sold out within a fraction of seconds. And just to add on, I just read a news just now that CryptoPunk got sold for $532 million.
Oh wow, that's a new high number, isn't it, Sandesh?
Exactly, it's $532 million for one just CryptoPunk.
All right,
$1 billion. Yeah.
So you know that really brings me to my next question. We talked about millennials. I mean, they are not spending so much money. They are perhaps looking at $50 to $100 at best, and we understand that is the major ticket size category there. But when we talk about these kind of numbers, Sandesh, is it about the wealthy? Is it about the wealth creators who are actually entering this segment and with a vengeance?
Yes, it is. I think it is majorly institutional buyers who are investing on NFT. See, NFT is comparatively a safer bet. Why? Because there are three aspects that gets attached. Like there are three aspects adds up the value of an NFT. The first one is obviously the underlying cryptocurrency on which it is getting sold. The second is the artist who made it. And third is the history aspect of it. When you add all these three aspects onto this asset class, this brings in a value for NFTs. So, and looking at crypto is majorly like a value-based thing. But whereas here, the value of an NFT or an asset gets valued based on these three aspects. And that's why it's a much safer bet. That's what my take would be.
Praful, you know, I'm just wording this differently for you, but the same question really, because when you look at investing in art, NFTs clearly has brought about a whole world of a change here. So earlier when you bought art, it was seen as a status symbol for the healthy, large, wealthy connoisseurs. Is the whole pattern changing now? Because as Sandesh says that, yes, the art, the wealthy creators, the wealthy buyers, wealth creators are entering this market.
So I think I will kind of break down the question into two parts, Manisha. I think I want to distinguish between art and NFTs because I see both markets kind of evolving independently of each other, right? I understand today there is, we use the word digital art and NFTs interchangeably. So first, let me take that. I think Sandesh is better equipped to answer that because that's what WazirX is currently focusing on along with other asset classes. Right, we do see a lot of, and also understand that who you call wealthy can be tricky business, because the traditionally wealthy who we observe in the world may not be crypto wealthy, which you see in the crypto space. So just a slight nuance there, because there are people who have kind of grown and made their fortunes in the crypto world, and those are who I call the crypto wealthy. Now, when it comes to NFTs as a space, I think we'll very quickly see NFTs, other kind of NFTs coming. And for example, the platform that we have launched, EngageIn, what we are doing is that we are saying that there's a whole digital asset class that deserves its own space where people can interact. So right now we are, for example, focusing on brands, right? Digital assets owned by either media brands or by product brands. Now, who are the people who will be the buyers in this space? Again, it will initially be the 18 to 30 millennials asset light class that Sandesh was describing. But keep in mind that this segment has a larger audience base, at least we believe so in the long run, because these are brands that people recognize, and that creates a very interesting dynamic. And that's the place that we are positioning our platform, where we are saying that this is a platform dedicated for brands. And this is a slightly different dynamic than the art marketplace. And this is going to grow where I believe that the breadth of the market coverage will increase, and even the depth will also increase as we were talking, as these NFT marketplaces integrate. But I guess the point I'm making is that there'll be different sorts of buyers depending on the kind of asset class that that platform specializes in.
I'm assuming, and Praful, correct me if I'm wrong, that the big ticket ones perhaps is what are being taken in by institutions and art collectors. And the smaller ones, again, you know, $50 to $100 perhaps is what the millennials are wrapping up.
I have no data to kind of either agree or disagree with you, Manisha. It will be purely speculation on my part, so I won't comment on that.
All right, taken. So let's move on. And, you know, while we there are a lot of people for NFTs, in NFTs, and there's a big data to prove that with the kind of excitement, the numbers that we already are looking at. But there also are some skeptics in the market which are advising against or holding back in investing in NFTs. Praful, how would you look at those apprehensions and how can that be managed?
I think it's a very fair analysis on both sides of the equation. There is an excitement in the potential of what NFTs can do, right? At the same time, the kind of asset classes that are currently being brought to the NFT world, which is primarily digital art, has some of the same challenges that traditional art has had, which is how do I value art, right? Very, very tricky business. How do I value art? Since it's been a hard problem, what is the price being paid for an art piece, which was a problem in the traditional art world, also carries forward to the traditional art world, to the digital art world phenomena. So skeptics are right if you look at the equation from this point of view, that how do you value an artwork? Yes, it is credible. Yes, it is from the artist. Yes, I like it. I want to buy it. But should that piece of art be worth $10 or $100 or $1,000 or $1,000,000 is extremely subjective. And if you think about it, that is what the other side of the equation is warning about, right? I think we will see a lot of innovation here. And this is where we in Engage and are working on a lot of what we call mechanisms, right? Which is where my background is in game theory and price discovery. I think that's where the innovation is going to come from. That how do you determine the optimal price of an asset in a market scenario where it's hard to value on the traditional basis? I think that's where the innovation is going to come. And that will what will bring sanity. Yes, auctions today are one way of doing it. But auctions always suffer from the problem that if the cash supply is higher, which is what it is in the crypto world, then you lead to a speculative environment. And that's what the skeptics are wanting. What the positive people who are on our side of this equation, if you may, what we are excited about it, yes, there is a solution to this. Let's put the solution in place and then open up the platform so that there is some sanity here, right? And once we solve that problem, the credit and also the way we think about it, bring in the credibility of the owner or the creator with a brand backing, then this will become much more saner. And that's the strategy we are taking on with Engage.
That point. See, now let's go back, actually. Let's go back to the gold era. Okay, now imagine gold doesn't even have any value back then. Okay, now imagine someone found it out and a group of people started believing that a gold has a value, right? Like, let's say 10 people started trading it. And even then, there will be buyers and there will be speculators, even back then, for the gold as well, right? Because who brought in the value for the gold? Okay, it is the community that brought in the value for gold, right? Because a small number of people who started believing that gold will be something bigger in the future, right? So similarly, even on the NFT side and even on the crypto side, it is that initial, we are the initial early adopters who are believing that this has a value, and it is, we are bringing in the other adoptions as well. So if we compare it to the gold and if we compare it to here, so I think we have an answer for that.
All right. I do understand that it is really between the believers and the non, but clearly whenever a new strategy or a new technology comes in, there are people who don't adopt, they're uncertain, and then they join in. I mean, this is something that history has proven. But, you know, when we talk about apprehensions, on the other side, one area that that goes big on influencers clearly comes in from cricketers and Bollywood. And that clearly has been an attention grabber, right from Amitabh Bachchan to Salman Khan to Ranveer Singh to Sunny Leone. I mean, we've seen all of them on board this. How would you look at this, Sandesh? And what would you say is the road going forward?
I completely welcome that, because they have a huge following who believe them. So if they come into the crypto community, right, and that's what we have been striving towards as a WazirX brand, we want to bring everyone onto the crypto community. So that's what we have been doing. And when we look at all this kind of news, like all the celebrities are coming in, they're dropping their NFT, that will bring even more people onto the crypto community. And that's what our brand has been working on.
Your final comment as well, Praful. What do you think can lead to people believing into this? I mean, a lot of work is being done. There already is a big community that believes in NFTs. We have seen numbers in sense of exchanges, platforms, creators, onboarders continue to increase. How would you look at the road ahead, let's say 1 year, 3 years, 5 years down the line?
It's going to be very, very different world. It's going to be a very, very different world. 1 year down the line, the number of digital assets that will be represented with NFTs would have been categorized and would have in at least grown five times. The kind of assets will go beyond digital art. Within 1 year, you will see a 5x explosion in the kind of assets which are being represented as NFTs, and the volumes will grow, right? 3 years, I would say that a large number of physical assets would also now be represented as NFTs, and the boundary between physical assets and digital assets will start to break down with twins, with a physical asset being represented as a NFT, an NFT being backed by a physical asset. That digital twinning will happen in 3 years. 5 years, it's hard for even me to wrap my mind around what will happen in 5 years. Perhaps, if I may dare to say so, the metaverse would be all around us and NFTs would be an integral part of that.
Sandesh, would you also agree with Praful on what he just said, that it is really going to explode going forward? It is going to be part of our daily lives.
It is, actually. It is. So no comments at all on that. Yeah, NFTs are going to, because see, even previously, Twitter came into the ecosystem of NFT, then TikTok came into the ecosystem of NFT, then recently Adobe started they started supporting NFT. Like on Photoshop, you can when you are creating an art, okay, if you there was an option, right, like save as a file. Now they have an option called as save as an NFT. So that's how deeply NFTs are getting into the product ecosystem, which has been used by millions. And if millions of people are coming into this crypto ecosystem, there is no question that we can't even doubt it. Like it is, there will be a huge number of adoption onto this particular ecosystem, and we are looking forward to it.
Ditto here. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on this podcast, talking everything about NFTs from the beginner level to on how you can really create it and, of course, onboard it. We will, of course, catch up with you yet again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Manisha.
Thank you, Manisha.